our friends and radio listeners, as once again the R.G. Hardy broadcast comes your way proclaiming, yes, souls are crying and men are dying. We need you to help us to win the lost. And we're so happy that you took the time to tune into the broadcast today, and we hope that you will stay with us as we prepare now to join the servant of the Lord, Brother Hardy, as he preaches a wonderful message entitled, God Became Man. Truly, this is a message that will warm your heart and endear you to our Father and to our Lord Jesus Christ as we begin to understand the great sacrifice he made that he might know us. And we want you to stay tuned as there will be some very special announcements at the end of the broadcast. Let's join Brother Hardy now for God Became Man.
You see, God didn't want to be too hard because his law was harsh and had no mercy. Folks that want to be under the law, you have no mercy. If you sin, that's it. And the Bible said that all posterity of mankind that's not born again is going to sin. And that's why God indicted mankind, and it said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we're trying to put our justification in the law, then we come up as sinners, and when we come up as sinners, there's no mercy. There is death in the lake of fire. The Bible said the law works wrath. There is no mercy. As in Hebrews, he that died without mercy under the witness of two, you see, you broke one of the commandments, and they brought you before the elders. You can holler all you want, mercy. They stoned you to death without mercy. The law was merciless. And God wanted to understand his creature. But he had to show and make sin known to man as being exceedingly sinful. So he added the law because man sinned. The law worked wrath and had no mercy. He wanted to show mercy to his fallen man. And the only way that he could was through understanding. Because God deems that when he makes the law that we should obey it. You see, when God makes his will known to us, then he don't have no second thought. We're supposed to obey his will and put it into operation. And when we don't do it, we can't understand why we wouldn't do it. And when we don't do it, then his law is merciless and demands retribution and judgment. But God wanted to bring mercy to man, and wanted to pardon man and yet be true to his law and his own will and his own standards. The only way he could do that was for himself to become a human being and understand man's part. I mean, he didn't just take on a likeness. He became human. He was just as human as you and I. Read, especially the book of Luke that portrays him as God's man. Now, when you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, you got to read it with the intention of the author. In Matthew, Jesus is portrayed as the king. So his regal line is given, and all the kingly prophecies are given. Behold, thy king. So his genealogy starts when he got in the kingly line of Abraham. That's why the genealogy starts and traces it back. He began to be a king when he began to be born in the family of Abraham down through David and that line of Judah. Behold, the line of Judah breaks every chain. In the book of Mark, he is, behold, the miracle worker. So his genealogy starts at his baptism, coming up out of the water, and the Spirit of God anointing him to be the miracle worker. No genealogy needed. Luke, behold the man. God's perfect man. So his genealogy traces him all the way back to Adam. Now, it doesn't stop at Abraham. That was just his kingly line to show you he's a king in the line of the king. But in Luke, to show you he is the man, then it just goes back from Mary, his mother, and supposedly Joseph, his father, and then he that begat him backward to Adam. And Adam was God's son. So when he was becoming the miracle worker, they didn't have to have a genealogy. He wasn't born the miracle worker. He lived 30 years just like any other human.
Amen.
And he laid aside his right of use of deity.
Amen.
And he didn't become the miracle worker till he come up out of the water and the heavens opened up and the Spirit of God anointed him. And God said, "This is my beloved son." And he anointed him to be a miracle worker. And he drove him in the wilderness to be tempted 40 days and 40 nights. And after he whipped the devil there 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible said, then he returned to Jerusalem in the power of the Spirit, and his fame went out in all the land. And if you're having a little trouble with healing and miracles, read Mark over and over and over and over and over again. And then when you know all about him intimately human, his human side, you read the book of Luke. And Luke's the only one that records his agony in Gethsemane. None of the others could do it because Luke was a doctor and only Luke knew what he was experiencing physically. When he said that he prayed in the garden and his sweat became, as it were, drops of blood. And remember, to the Jew, blood means life, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the word for drops is the Greek word thromboi, that we get the English word thrombosis. And you know what a coronary thrombosis is? And a pulmonary thrombosis. How many ever heard of those medical terms? Pulmonary thrombosis means you got a clot in your lung. Coronary, you got one in your heart and you had it.
Yeah.
His sweat, the very essence of his physical life, was coming out in clots of life and dropping on the ground. And if God didn't send an angel and strengthen him, he would have died in that physical battle. Kind of like if you read about Samson when he killed 1,000 of the Philistine with the jawbone. And when he got done, he was so poured out that he hollered to God, "God, I'm dying."
Yes,
and God had to let water come out of the jawbone and renew him.
Yes, amen.
He dehydrated in the battle. And Jesus dehydrated in the garden. And the devil tried to kill him there. He didn't want him to go to Calvary.
Amen.
And contrary to the Gnostic gospel where they say that death was just a means to go to hell to suffer. Well, why didn't he let him die in the garden then? That was just as good as place as any. Why did he have to go to the cross?
Amen.
The devil wanted him to die every place but the cross. Tried to stone him, but the Lord made himself invisible.
Amen.
Tried to throw him off the brow of the hill where his hometown was, but he made himself invisible. Tried to get him to come down from the cross. If the devil wanted him to die, he'd have tried to make him stay on the cross, not come down. That was the devil's last try to see if Jesus had any self at all in him. Because the law of an unsaved man is self-preservation. And if he was full of God on the inside and wanted revenge, he would have come down off that cross and said, "You devils, you and sapped them." But he didn't do it. He stayed on that cross. He won the victory in Gethsemane, and he was gone all the way for mankind. I'm glad he didn't come down off of that cross. If he did, I wouldn't be here save the day. He stayed on the cross like the choir sings. He wouldn't come down. How many say amen? Thank God he wouldn't come down. He was so much human like us that he bled on that cross. And you read the book of Luke. He wanted human companionship. He saw them in his agony when he partook of that Last Supper. That was the highest desire of his, to have human compassionship. And he said with desire, and the Greek says with great desire, I desire to eat this supper with you before I suffer. And even breaking that bread, knowing that Judas was going to betray him, he dipped that sop and gave it to Judas. And according to Eastern tradition, the highest form of fellowship is to be called to someone's table to partake of the broken bread. And they don't have, like we do, you know, knives and forks per se. You that were under the Bedouin tent, they lucky they got that dirty pot that they got full of water and always ready to give to their friends that cup of tea. And they have common dishes. In fact, you go on that Holy Land tours, you'll see the guides all get together, and they're mostly all Arabs, and they have all those dishes, and they're all dipping in the dishes together. You don't invite everybody to dip in your dish, do you? See the meaning of it? Because you dip in a common plate together, you make sure you know who's dipping in the plate. Especially in this day, brother. I want to know who's dipping in my plate.
Praise the Lord, saints. I trust that you have been blessed and spiritually inspired by this wonderful message by God's servant, Brother Hardy. God became man. Truly, how great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. I believe this message has really caused you to love the Lord Jesus Christ more than ever, as you realize that he laid aside his deity, his equality with God, and took upon himself the form and fashion of a man, and was even found in the form of a servant, that he may become to us an able and faithful and merciful high priest. The only mediator between God and man is the man, Christ Jesus. This wonderful message is available to you on both CD and cassette. And in fact, we want to offer you something very special today. When you order God Became Man, we will also include the bonus message, The Relinquishment and Restoration of Christ's Glory. We will join Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians as he tells us the wonderful, wonderful blessing that is ours because Jesus Christ laid aside his properties of deity and took upon himself the form of an humble servant, even the form of humanity, that he might know us. We want to send both of these messages to you. God Became Man and The Relinquishment and Restoration of Christ's Glory. Please request the God Became Man series and address your check or money order to R.G. Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. And send a love gift of $10 if you want the audio cassette or $15 if you want the CDs. Write us today and be sure to tell us how much the radio ministry is blessing your life, because we want to know that you're being blessed by the Word of God.
When the lost at any